In the latest pastor's report, I wrote about foot washing and the need that we have to regard it as a reminder of the humility that we need to approach the Passover service. And it's not just the Passover, it's the start of the entire holiday season. So foot washing is an appropriate way of starting the entire holiday season. But you know, there's something else actually happening as well at this present time that we're all involved in, which even precedes the foot washing in that sense, as a start to the holiday season, as a start to the Passover, as a start to the days of unleavened bread, and that is de-leavening. And I'm sure that an awful lot of us around the world are moving furniture, and we're opening boxes, and boxes that have probably stayed there since a year ago, unfortunately, and vacuuming and emptying drawers and cupboards and checking the labels of ingredients to see whether in fact there's any leaven there, washing and sweeping, and then threatening everybody with instant death if they dare go in there and with any leaven. But you know, it's largely worthless, quite frankly, if we limit it to the physical side of things. And unfortunately, this time of year, we've got so many other things to do as well. The garden starts crying out and the weather's getting better, and just one thing after another, we've got too many things to be done, and therefore de-leavening is another chore. And as far as the chores are concerned, it's a chore that we could almost do without in many cases. But it would, as I say, it's largely worthless if we only look at the subject physically, and the spiritual aspects are put to one side. So what I want to do today in this sermonette, the time I got in the sermonette, is to give three keys, three words that really will help us, if we keep them in mind, will help us to, when we're actually doing the de-leavening, help us to remember the spiritual aspects involved. And those three words I've written down are light, clutter, and miracle. Light, clutter, and miracle. Now, I always remember one particular year, I was having to de-leaven the car, and we don't have a suitable spot where we are, where we actually live. We are on a rather dangerous bend, and therefore, rather than bring the car over to next to the house, I decided to go up to my parents' place, which was in the next village. And it started to get dark, and I thought, well, no problem, because we can park outside the garage there and open the back up and be able to vacuum out without any problem. And for some reason, the garage light was off. And so it was getting progressively more and more dark as I was trying to de-leaven the car. And so I was pointing the vacuum in the right direction, hopefully, and trying to vacuum the car out and trying to get all the bits of leaven that might be there from the children, eating their biscuits and everything else, and yet not really sure whether I was hitting anything that was valid or wasn't. And this is a problem. If we don't have light to see, we can't see the sin, we can't see the leaven. And it's interesting that in John 1, in fact in John 1, John 3, John 8, John 9, you find Christ being described as being the light of the world, and how we need to follow him as the light of the world. But you know, the entire section of John that talks about it, Christ being the light of the world, also talks about him being the living word. And it's the living word that we need to be following. It's interesting also in Matthew 5 verse 14, it talks about you are the light of the world, talking to us. And a city on the hill cannot be hid. And basically, if we're led by the same spirit that it was in Christ, we should also be the light of the world. But let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Because being the word of God, it fits in with this passage here in Proverbs chapter 6, where he says in verse 20, he says, "My son, keep your father's commandment, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Now, you apply this both literally, because Solomon was writing it and talking of his father, and our own parents' words also need to be take note of, but also spiritually as well. And certainly spiritually it applies to our father and also to the church and the word that we've had from them. "Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them around your neck. And when you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you, and when you awake, it'll talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp. Let's say, the first word that I have is light. Without light, you can't see the leaven. Without the commandments, you can't see what sin is. Now, sin is the transgression of the law. It's by the law is the knowledge of sin, you know, Paul says in Romans 3. And he mentions in Romans 7 about how you didn't know sin, but the law said you shouldn't covet. And the word law in Hebrew is Torah, coming from the word yara, to point, and to give you the direction, to give you the direction in which to go, to teaching that's necessary. And obviously, if you're shooting something, if you're shooting an arrow, it's best to do it in daylight, because without light, you can't see, and you certainly can't see the target. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instructions of the way of life. So the first thing we really need to bear in mind and keep in our minds as we are going around the leavening at this time of year is the fact that we do need light, and the light isn't just physical light just to de-leaven. It's the spiritual light of God's law that defines sin for us. And remember, the law is spiritual, and the spiritual mindset that is behind there, the law actually defines it. It gives us pointers, it gives us the way pointers as to whether we are going in the right direction or the wrong. And as I said, it's very much led by the Spirit of God, and the oil of God is used as far as the light is concerned. They used to have oil lamps years ago, and the Spirit of God is also instrumental. I mean, the spiritual heritage that we've had from Mr. Armstrong, or via Mr. Armstrong, from Jesus Christ, is also a vital part of the process, a vital part of that light. It's what empowers it in our own mind. And the difficulty is that the Holy Spirit comes when we get on our knees and pray each morning. And that gives me to the next point, which was clutter. If we are so cluttered, if we are so busy at this time of year, that it's just another chore, and let's face it, it can be very, very easily just another chore, another thing that we've got to do, tick off our list, then it's a real problem. And I say, if we can keep in mind not only light, but the word clutter as well, because clutter is something that will come undoubtedly. You imagine de-leavening before machines. Imagine, you have mats on the floor, and you have to pull the mats out, and you have to whack them to beat the dust and dirt out of them and beat the leaven out of them. But can you imagine how much easier it would be, because there isn't as much stuff? I mean, it's even incidental that it talks about the day of the unleavened, when the Passover must be killed, over in Luke 22. And the day of the unleavened was the day when the Passover must be killed. It was the day following the Passover. And that was the primary, it is still to this day, you know, the last bits of leaven go out on that day. But we have a complicated world. We have so much stuff that you've got to start weeks in advance and dealing with the stuff and getting rid of the clutter. And yet it's the clutter that many times clutters our minds up, and clutters our minds up to sin. And if we turn over to Matthew chapter 6, you see, we live in a world and a society today that is based on materialism, and everything is, you know, the consumer society. It's built into the very fabric of our economic system. It's not going to be quite the same way. The equality society is going to be the way of the future. But as far as the consumer society are concerned today, here in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and materialism." Because mammon is personifying material things. And materialism is a very similar word. So we understand materialism, but we don't understand mammon. But you can't serve God and materialism. "Therefore I say to you, do not take any anxious thought. Do not become unglued. Do not fall to pieces for your life. What do you eat, or what you drink, or your body, for what you put on? Isn't the life more than food, and the body than raiment? And we skip down to verse 31. Therefore, do not take any anxious thought. Do not come unglued, saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to be clothed with? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. So it's not that they're wrong. It's a case of what it said over in verse 24. It says, no man can serve two masters. And if we're serving clutter, then the clutter's winning. And certainly, if we are too busy to pray, to fast, to study, to meditate, then we're far too busy. And something needs to be given. It's far better to de-leaven half as much, but think about it twice as much, than it is to have the house spotless. You know, you can certainly do as much as we can, as best we possibly can. But the spiritual side is so vitally important. And remembering these three words certainly will help us all to keep the important things in mind. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So in other words, no man can serve two masters. You seek the first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, you know, stuff that you need, the stuff that we need, that is, should be added unto you. Take therefore no anxious thought for the morrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient to the day. Live in day-type compartments. Don't worry constantly about stuff, because the clutter is good. What we need is the clutter controlled. That's what we need. And as I say, if we're too busy to pray, to fast, to study, to meditate, then we're too busy. If TVV is too important to pray, to fast, to study, to meditate, then switch the television off. If the news, and you know, keeping up with the news means that we don't pray or we don't study or whatever, then there's a problem. It's too, you know, we're too busy. We've got too much clutter. And certain things have got to be put to one side. You know, praying and fasting and studying and meditating is vital for our spiritual well-being, for our spiritual life. If our work, our family, our friends makes it too important to pray, to fast, to study, to meditate, the cares of this world really choking the word. If you go to Matthew 13 about the sowing the seed, it is that cares of this world choking the word and making it unfruitful that really applies to us in our case. And that basically is talking about clutter. And clutter is something that we'll come across as we de-leaven, and we need to understand, hang on a minute, this is teaching me. This is teaching me about spiritual clutter, about the spiritual side of things. And I say, if we can keep these things in mind, if we can keep light in mind, if we can keep clutter in mind as we de-leaven, then you will have the spiritual side of things reminding us, prompting us. We'll be, you know, de-leavening properly in that sense. And finally, miracle. We can vacuum, we can wash, we can scrub, we can sweep, but yeast spores are in the air. You know, I mean, Andrew said there's so many thousand feet, so many miles high, one of the highest living life forms, I think, the yeast spores are found in the air. And we're never going to achieve perfection physically, so far as the leavening is concerned. It's just not possible. But you see, carnal nature is in the air. And we don't have the Spirit of God without measure, as Christ did. And so conversion for us is a process. We're not converted. You know, Christ was converted from birth. He was converted from birth. He was converted, as I say, had the Spirit of God without measure. But we aren't. And we therefore, as much as we struggle, we fail. And we need that sacrifice of Christ. So, you know, every single one of us needs that sacrifice of Christ to make it possible. But if you turn over a few pages to Matthew 19, you see, perfection needs a miracle. If we are going to be perfect and presented perfect at the end time, when we finally make it into the kingdom of God, it's going to take a miracle. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes there. It's going to take a miracle. But here in Matthew 19, in verse 21, Jesus said to him, this is the rich young ruler, he says, if you want to be perfect, You, that's him specifically, go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. It's interesting, also talking about in verse 28, it says, you that have followed me in the regeneration will sit on 12 thrones. It almost appears as if he was being offered an apostleship. Now that's conjecture to some degree, but it could well be. But he, when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And yet, you know, you wonder that in the future, when he sees what he's actually missed, he'll realize just how great was what he actually let go. Then said Jesus to his disciples, truly I say to you that a rich man will hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and that's literal, a camel to go through an eye of a needle, it's a literal thing, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with man this is impossible. And let's face it, it is impossible. When you think about what is involved for changing us, flesh, into a spirit being, it's impossible. It takes a miracle. It's a miracle bar none. But with God, all things are possible. When you think of what in fact happens as far as an ovum is concerned, an ovum with a sperm, unite, and 40 weeks later there's a child, that's impossible. But it happens to every single one of us in this room, and all of you listening to me over the internet. It's happened in every single case. Every single case. And the creating mindset of God is what lies behind that. Well, the same thing is true as far as presenting as sinless. It talks about without spot or blemish or any such thing as far as the church is concerned. And the same thing occurs. It takes a miracle. It will take a miracle. So those three words, just keep in mind as we were de-leavening this next couple of weeks. Light, clutter, and miracle. And just remember what it says here in Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and says, with men this is impossible, but with a God all things are possible.